No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here to explore your faith, to meet new people, and to strengthen your personal relationship with God. Welcome to Pilgrim Church UCC on the second Sunday of Easter. I'm glad to see all of you, and I am so very grateful for all the gifts that still keep coming. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I'm really not good at sending out thank you notes, so I will just put thank you notes in the newsletter, and all the other people will get bored with my newsletter articles. So thank you again for all the beautiful gifts. And I don't really have any announcements, but if we have other announcements, then this is the time. Mark.
Good morning. As you might be able to tell, we're collecting PB&J for the month of April. So if you have a nut allergy, then just collect the jelly. And any kind of J will be fine. Any kind of PB will be fine. So the special offering for the month of April is Heifer Project. And we have supported Heifer for many, many years. And I'll be talking more about it as the month goes on. But we have done a lot of fundraising, and we've actually raised enough to actually buy a heifer or a water buffalo, which is even more fun. A lot of people don't know exactly what the Heifer Project does. It does a whole lot more than just buying and shipping animals. It trains farmers, it does sustainable agriculture, it does a whole lot of education. A lot of their money goes toward just educating people on how to farm sustainably, how to live sustainably. And many of these communities in low-income areas need a lot of education just on health care, clean water, things like that. So they do a lot more than just the animal part of it. But we have supported them for many years, so I'm hoping that we can raise quite a bit and buy quite a few animals. So if you're able and willing, we'll be collecting all month for this, so just use the white envelopes in the pews and mark them heifer. And it's H-E-I-F-E-R, but anything that vaguely looks like heifer will be fine. I have trouble spelling it sometimes, too. Let's see. Oh, and we're doing something brand new this month. And if I can find it, hold on a second.
Brand new?
We have an idea for a new kind of offering. Actually, Erin came up with it because she saw it in her parents' church in Wisconsin. And it's called a noisy offering. And on those months that have five Sundays, the fifth Sunday of the month, we will have a noisy offering. And the ushers will be carrying buckets. And you are invited and encouraged to dump your spare change in the bucket. And we'll make as much noise as possible. And this month, the noisy offering will be going to Heifer. So we will try to make as much noise as possible. That's the last Sunday of the month. So we're not doing it every Sunday. It's just every once in a while. I think there's four months this year that have five Sundays, so we may have a few more of these during the year, but the last Sunday of the month. And there is a World Care meeting after service, so
thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Are there any other announcements this morning? Short ones or none? That's even better. Then Lorna will lead us in our call to worship.
Please stand if you are able and join me in the call to worship. We are the people of the 21st century, far removed from the upper room.
Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe.
We were not there when they rolled away the stone, nor did we put our fingers in the wounds.
Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe.
Even though doubts occasionally arise, we have come to believe, and so we gather enthusiastically this morning to worship the risen Christ.
Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Let us worship the risen Christ.
Please join me in the first hymn, number 242, The Strife is O'er. Remain standing for the prayer of invocation. God of the resurrection, we gather as a community of believers. We come with joy to greet one another and to tell again and again the amazing news. Christ is risen. Love is victorious over death. You have given us new life in the name of your Son. May our singing, praying, listening, and proclaiming be a testimony to the power of your love. We pray in the name of the risen Christ. Amen.
You may be seated. And now may I have the young and young at heart come forward and have a little chat with me. Come on out, young people. You can bring your parents with you too. Come on out. Come on, brave young people. I see some very brave young people there. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen.
Good morning, Reverend Melinda.
Oh, you got to do this one more time. Good morning, young people.
Good morning.
Good morning, sleepy people. How is everyone doing today?
Good.
Good? Okay. Okay, little sleepy. How are you doing, Curtis?
Good.
You're doing good? Good? Okay. Well, okay, you don't have to do, you know, great, but okay is good too. How are you doing?
Good.
Good. Okay, thank you. Thank you for the good ones. Okay, young people, this is a hard question. Have you ever said something that was not true?
At some point in life, I'm sure, yes.
Don't believe that.
I will tell you the answer. Yes, just say yes. I think we have all said something at some point in our lives. Aaron looks at me very strangely. You have never said anything that was not true?
I have definitely said things that aren't true.
Okay. So, do you remember something that you said and it wasn't true? Yes, no? Okay, you don't have to give us an example. That's okay. But I think we all say things sometimes that are not true, but how do we know if what other people say is true or it's not true? How do we know?
We have to trust them.
Well, Cindy, that's not the answer to my question, okay. Well, that's my part. Okay, so the answer to my question, we do not know when they tell us the truth, or does anyone know? Well, God knows, but we don't know. So we don't really know when somebody is telling us the truth. So we have to
trust them.
Thank you, Cindy. And sometimes it's hard to trust people. It's not always easy. And we have a story about a young person who had trouble trusting his friends. And his name was?
Thomas!
Cindy knows the whole story. Yes, so Thomas had trouble trusting his friends, and he just didn't believe what they told him. And what did they tell him?
That Jesus was alive.
Yes, they told him that Jesus was back and Jesus was alive. And he just said, no, I don't believe that. I didn't see him. And for him, seeing was believing. So he just didn't believe anything that they said. So they just, it didn't matter what they told him, he didn't believe. And then guess what happened?
That is pretty hard to believe though, Melinda, right?
It's hard to believe. It was a little bit strange. Yes, because it's hard to believe that someone dies and they come back from the death. But that's what happened to Jesus, and they didn't really want to believe that. And then guess what happened after that? Can you guess? What happened after that? What happened to Thomas?
I don't know.
Did he believe eventually or he didn't? He just stayed in his doubt and that was the end of the story.
Oh, no.
No? What do you think happened?
What do you think? Thomas saw Jesus.
Thomas saw Jesus. Actually, Jesus appeared to him and he came into that room where Thomas was and he said, peace be with you. Hey Thomas, I'm here. So check me out. And Thomas said, oh my goodness, you are my God. I can't believe this. This is amazing. And finally, Thomas
said, I believe.
Thomas believed, but only after he saw things. But unfortunately, sometimes we can't see things, like we can't see God. We see an image of Jesus, but we really can't see Jesus walking around here with us. So when we can't see something or somebody, what do we need to do?
Have faith.
Have faith. We just need to believe. So that's the point today, that even though we cannot see God or we cannot see Jesus, we need to believe in Jesus and we need to believe in God. And we need to
trust.
To trust, exactly. And we need to trust people too until they do something bad and we don't trust them and they have to earn our trust again. But we can trust God. And God says that God loves us, so we can trust God's words. Will you say a prayer with me? Yes? You can say a prayer here too. Loving God, we thank you that what you say is true. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, young people. And now you may go to care camp, or you can stay with your parents if you would like to. And we will sing.
Hallelujah.
first scripture reading today is taken from Acts number 4, chapters 32 to 35. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. The second reading is taken from John chapter 1, verses 1 to 2 and 2. John, the word of life. We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. This life was revealed, and we have seen it and testified to it, and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. We declare to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. God is light. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Christ our advocate. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world.
Because he lives.
Thank you, choir and Chris. Our third reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said,
"Peace be with you."
After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again,
"Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you."
When he said this, he breathed on them and he said to them,
"Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained."
But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him,
"We have seen the Lord."
But he said to them,
"Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe."
A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said,
"Peace be with you."
Then he said to Thomas,
"Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe."
Thomas answered him,
"My Lord and my God."
Jesus said to him,
"Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe."
Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. Let us pray. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. While I was thinking about this sermon and about Thomas's faith, on Wednesday, the people in the study group brought up Indiana Jones. Do you remember that? You probably know this by now, but I love Indiana Jones movies. One of my favorite scenes ever comes from Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, when Indiana Jones stands on a cliff and he must make a leap of faith. How many of you remember that scene? So good. I watched that movie many times. I don't know how many times. But it still gives me goosebumps how he looks into the bottomless abyss beneath his feet. Even though I know what comes next, I can feel the pressure he must have felt when he knew he had to jump. You can tell that he doesn't take the leap easily. He perspires, scratches his head under the cool hat that he always wears, and he doesn't have the strength to do it. It helps that Indiana Jones knows that the Holy Grail and his father are on the other side of the void. However, there is no visible way leading to it. So what does he do? Trying to find a solution, Indiana Jones reads his father's journal. The journal's suggestion, however, doesn't make him feel any better about the situation. He reads, and I quote, "Only in the leap from the lion's head will he prove his worth." Now, Indiana Jones stands at the lion's head, but it seems impossible what the journal suggests. After a few agonizing moments, he remembers his father's words, "You must believe, boy. You must believe." At this point, you can see the change on his face. From feelings of terror and doubt, his eyes express determination. Then he takes a step into the void, a leap of faith, and a bridge appears under his feet. Think about it for a moment. The bridge was there the whole time. The bridge did not change. It was only invisible to his eyes. But now, with the eyes of faith, Indiana Jones sees it. He only needed to take that first step to make a decision to trust, with Cindy's words, she's not here. And now Indiana Jones sees differently. Then, of course, we know what happens. He walks across the bridge, above the void, and finds the Holy Grail. The story ends happily, and Indiana Jones is able to save his father's life. Still, the image of that leap of faith remains an inspiration to me, and probably to many people who are struggling. When I first saw the movie, I was a young teenager who was getting ready to leave my parents' house to live in a big city hundreds of miles away in a boarding school. It was a good school, one of the best in our tiny little country. And I made this decision for myself. Still, it was a scary decision for a 14, 15-year-old girl. So when I watched Indiana Jones, the movie inspired me, a teenage girl in Hungary, to have more faith. That faith eventually led me here into this great, much bigger country, and to all of you. That faith eventually led me to Pilgrim Church. But even now, I remember the power of that image, and it's still inspirational. It helps me have more faith, even under these circumstances. Unfortunately, Thomas in our gospel didn't have an Indiana Jones spirit. Or had. He could not take a leap of faith. After the death of Jesus, Thomas was lost. His faith was barely alive. He simply couldn't see through the sorrow. Thomas didn't believe that the other disciples, when they told him that they had seen the risen Christ. Thomas did not have much inclination to believe in things not visible. He says, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and I put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." That's pretty rough. But let's not judge poor Thomas. I'm sure that he has been mocked plenty of times throughout history. We even gave him a nickname, Doubting Thomas. Now we can't even call him just Thomas. One of the disciples, we have to call him Doubting Thomas, poor Thomas. We have to be nicer to him. How many of us would have behaved differently in his place? How much stronger is our faith than his? Is it easier for us to take a leap of faith? Most of us struggle. That's why I admire the patience and gentleness of Jesus in this story. When he appears, Jesus doesn't scold Thomas for his lack of faith. Jesus doesn't even tell Thomas what we usually tell others, "I told you so." Jesus could have reminded Jesus, "Didn't I tell you I will arise on the third day? Why didn't you listen to me?" But all this is not in the Bible. Jesus meets Thomas where Thomas is. Jesus doesn't argue with him, but simply repeats the words Thomas said earlier in our story. "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Even after this moment, after Thomas realizes his lack of faith, Jesus doesn't shame Thomas. Jesus simply points out one essential thing. The church of the future will need to take leaps of faith after Jesus returns to heaven and will not be visible to our physical eyes. So Jesus says, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. In this last beatitude of the Gospels, Jesus points out the obvious. We are blessed when we have faith. We are blessed when we come to church, even though we may struggle and occasionally doubt. We are blessed when we keep trying, even though we hit walls on our journey. We are blessed when we are able to take a leap of faith, even though the situation in front of us seems hopeless. Jesus says that we are blessed when we trust God, even though our physical eyes may not be able to see Christ. In the Indiana Jones movie, the leap of faith comes before his eyes open to see the bridge. I'm sure that we all have difficult situations in our lives that need a leap of faith. I'm also sure that you have done it before. You took a leap of faith when you started a new job, when you moved to a new place, when you bought a new house, when you married your spouse, when you brought a puppy home. You also took a leap of faith when you stood up for yourself, when you sat in an airplane first, or if you went skydiving or scuba diving or rock climbing. I'm sure that you have taken a leap of faith before. But sometimes taking a leap of faith turns out unpleasant. What do we do then? What do we do when we trust someone and they hurt us? Or take a leap of faith and start a new job, but it doesn't work out? Or the car that we bought is a lemon. Some people get discouraged and close their hearts toward new experiences or new people. When our feelings get hurt, we can easily lose hope and close our spiritual door toward God. This may have been what Thomas went through. He believed that Jesus was the Messiah who would save Israel from the Romans. He saw Jesus heal people and feed thousands with only a few pieces of food. He was with Jesus throughout his ministry and believed that with Jesus, everything was possible. Then he saw Jesus captured, tortured, and killed on a cross. Thomas was still in shock. Is it surprising that Thomas lost hope? Is it surprising that he couldn't believe in the resurrection? Again, this may be a time for some of us to take a leap of faith. I don't know what your void is that feels overwhelming or scary. Raising a child can be a leap of faith, too. You do your best to raise them well, but who knows what happens when they grow up? You may have to deal with sicknesses or new situations or new ideas. Life can be scary. You may need to go through tough times alone, or you worry about a loved one. But no matter what you are going through, God is with you. God loves you and will lead you through those scary times. Even though you cannot see it yet, but the bridge is already there. God will make a way. You won't jump into the void. When you take that leap of faith, God will be there with you to guide you every step of the way. God's comfort will surround you, and God's Holy Spirit will guide you. So no matter what you are dealing with, let God help you and be a part of your journey. Jesus met Thomas where Thomas was, on the level of faith Thomas was capable of in that moment. God also knows our needs, what our needs are, and how to find joy in our lives. Indiana Jones took that leap of faith, and good things happened. Dare to be brave and follow his example. Trust in God even when it's scary. Hope even when it seems illogical. Dare to trust new people and new situations, for you may discover unknown blessings. Trust that good things can come out of bad situations. Remember, not many things that matter are visible. Dare to trust God and know that God will be with you no matter what, especially when you finally decide to take that leap of faith. Amen. Our next hymn this morning is hymn number 301, Crown Him, Crown with Your Richest Crowns.
Crown with your richest crowns.
may be seated. And now let us share our joys and concerns with each other. Are there any prayer requests? No? Everyone's happy and healthy? Prayers for Lee. He made noises. Anyone else? No? Okay, then let us pray. Gracious God, in your presence we find joy. With your help we are brave. In your name we dare to take leaps of faith, even when we cannot see the future. Our fears and doubts vanish when your Spirit inspires us and your holiness fills our souls with wonder. Help us to know your comforting compassion and your unconditional acceptance. Open our spiritual eyes that we may see the bridges you build in front of us. Open our hearts that we may feel your presence, not only in this holy place, but everywhere we go. As we come before you, we bring our hopes and our tears to you. Heal our hearts and refresh our spirits. And now we also intercede for all people who need your special care. We pray for all who are suffering in body, mind, or spirit. We also pray for the people on our prayer list. We pray for Lee Bowley, Lee Carvalho, Claudette, Frank, Joe, Kristen, Carolyn, Renee, Penny, Kyson, Peggy, Vivian, Judy, Naomi, Judy, Ralph, Noah, Porter, Shirley, Sharon, and we pray for the people in the military. Today we also ask you to watch over our congregation, Pilgrim Church UCC, that as we grow outwardly, we may continue to grow inwardly, spiritually, and in love. Resurrected Christ, in the next few quiet moments, calm our hearts and help us find your peace that you offer to those who follow you. And now join me in saying the words Jesus taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread.
And forgive us our debts,
as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Do good and share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. And now our ushers will come forward to receive our morning tithes and offerings.
Thank you.
Now let us say together our prayer of dedication. Generous and surprising God, when we thought that death had claimed your only Son, you amazed us with the resurrection. Surprise us again with your ability to turn these humble offerings into gifts that will transform the world through our witness to your love. We lay our very lives at your feet, O God, knowing that you will use us to proclaim and embody the gospel. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is hymn number 253, Yours is the Glory, Resurrected One, 253. In the light of God, live in the light of God, bask in the light of God. May the light of all lights transform your doubts into faith and your sorrows into joy. Go with the peace of God. Amen.